A reading from Hebrews chapter 7. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. O Lord, have mercy on us. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. We learn in the book of Leviticus that the Israelite priesthood was drawn from the tribe of Levi. What we see is a blending together of two incompatible ideas, law and grace. The book of Leviticus is probably the most law-orientated book of the Old Testament, demanding of people that they render perfect obedience to all the moral laws of God. At the same time, it makes clear that such obedience should be the response which flows from the penitent sinner who has been forgiven his or her sins. The ceremonies which were required along with the duties of the priest are laid out in great detail. The priest had to first make an offering for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. But the sacrifices of the Old Testament had to be repeated as people continued to sin. Those sacrifices ultimately pointed forward to their fulfillment in Christ Jesus. For in Christ Jesus, you have a priest of pardon and peace, which is our theme this evening. Our text is what I read from Hebrews chapter 7. My fellow redeemed, dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. How is Jesus a priest of pardon is a good place for us to begin. We know how sin entered the world through the temptation of Adam and Eve in the garden. We also know that that sin has been passed down to each one of us. As Scripture says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. Ask the average person you meet the question, why is there death in the world? And you will get a variety of answers, but very few will give you the correct biblical answer, which is, we have death because of sin. In our text, Jesus is described as holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. In contrast, you and I and all people can be described by nature and by way of thought, word, and deed as just the opposite. Unholy, guilty as charged, defiled within, separated from God and self-exalting. Hence, we needed someone who could bring us pardon for our sins, and that was Christ Jesus, God's own Son. The office of priest, which Jesus holds, is quite different from that of the Old Testament priests. The Old Testament priests, well, they would eventually die and you'd have to get another one. We read, and the former priests, on the one hand, existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. But then we hear of Jesus. But he, on the other hand, because he abides forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Our text also points out the difference between the Old Testament priest and the priesthood of Jesus. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints a son made perfect forever. What a contrast we have between the Levitical priesthood and that of Christ Jesus. Our text says of Jesus, "For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, because this he did once for all when he offered up himself." Verse 4 of hymn 667 echoes that reality, where it says, "Come, let us fix our sight on Christ who suffered. He faced the cross, his sinless life he offered. He scorned the shame, he died our death enduring, our hope securing." Jesus, the sinless one, became sin for us. Paul says of Jesus, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And since our sins rest on Jesus, it means they no longer rest on us. It also says in the book of Hebrews, "Therefore he had to be made like his brethren in all things, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make payment for the sins of the people." Since Jesus is both God and man in one person, it meant that he too was truly like us, except without sin. We see his compassion in his actions. We witness his mercy in what he was willing to do for us and for our salvation. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Verse 2 of hymn 548 states, "Thou hast died for my transgression. All my sins on thee were laid. Thou hast won for me salvation. On the cross my debt was paid. From the grave I shall arise and shall meet thee in the skies. Death itself is transitory. I shall lift my head in glory." We see that Jesus was not only a priest of pardon, but also a priest of peace. The Bible says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We are at peace because of what Jesus has done, and because by grace through faith in him, we abide in him. Paul Gerhardt wrote in a hymn, "Sin's debt, that fearful burden, cannot his love erase. Your guilt the Lord will pardon. and cover by his grace. He comes for you, procuring the peace of sins forgiven, his children thus securing eternal life in heaven. Jesus, our priest of pardon and peace, lives to make intercession for us before God. The Bible says, who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. And then John adds, my little children, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Verse 3, hymn 567. Describes what Jesus has done and the peace he brings to us. It says, thy work alone, O Christ, can ease the weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within. And then from hymn 589, oh, what blessing to be near you and to listen to your voice. Let me ever love and hear you. Let your word be now my choice. Many hardened sinners, Lord, flee in terror at your word. But to all who feel sin's burden, you give words of peace and pardon. We can live each day in confidence, knowing that Christ's work, his death and resurrection, have shown him to be a priest of pardon and peace. In Jesus' name and completed work, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.